Wham! Bam! Body slam! You're listening to My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, right here on JitteryMonkey.com. Now here's your host, Kevin Huntsperger. Hey everyone, as always, welcome to My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. Happy New Year. Thank you so much for downloading either on iTunes or going to the JitteryMonkey.com website. And again, as always, a big thanks to Greg Mahochko, who makes sure that this podcast publishes or updates every week for you. This is episode 5. I'm calling this one a golden opportunity because I do have a golden opportunity to talk to someone who I consider a friend of mine in the wrestling business, the golden boy, Greg Anthony, and we'll be hearing from him via the phone here in just a few minutes. Before we get started with that conversation, though, I was going to talk a little bit about some of the goings-on right now in wrestling, specifically mostly WWE. Of course, WWE ended 2014 with Raw and Edge and Christian coming back as co-host or co-general managers, I guess, setting up some matches, which actually led to the reinstatement of the Authority. And if you go back and look at my year in review blog or my predictions blog for 2015 at my123cents.com, you can kind of see some thoughts on how I feel about the whole role of the general manager, the Authority in general. I think it's too soon to bring the Authority back. I knew it was inevitable, but I thought that it would have lasted a little longer, their absence. The other big note from Raw, I thought, was the announcement by Daniel Bryan that he will be in the 2015 Royal Rumble, which I think kind of changes the landscape for that matchup. And, of course, the outlook for WrestleMania, you can see more on my blog again at my123cents.com. And I'll go more into Royal Rumble predictions as that event draws near and we know more about who is going to be participating in the event. Bad News Barrett, of course, is back beating Cesaro, which I wish they would either make Cesaro a single superstar and push him a little bit more, or if they're going to go with the whole tag team thing with him and Tyson Kidd, let's do that too. But he still remains kind of in limbo as far as I'm concerned. The Usos regaining the tag team championship and the Ascension making their debut from NXT, defeating Damian Mizdow and The Miz after they had lost the tag team championship. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with the Ascension. Wrestle Kingdom 9, by the time you're listening to this podcast, will be history. I am assuming that this will be a successful event for Jeff Jarrett, Global Force Wrestling. As they're promoting this, and of course it is happening in Japan, Jim Ross and Matt Stryker on the commentary team should be a dynamic duo there. But as I said, we're recording this before the event itself, so be sure to come back next week and hear more thoughts on that. And then finally, TNA relaunching with a new network, Destination America. That's happening on Wednesday, January 7th. The main event for that show, Bobby Roode versus Lashley, and for some reason his first name is escaping me at the moment, but that is happening on January 7th on Destination America, so be sure to check your local listings for that. Without any further ado, though, I am going to bring in my guest this time around, and really the first, Chad was on for our Cinti Awards, and I don't necessarily consider him a guest. He's going to be a co-host from time to time, but the golden boy, Greg Anthony. I met Greg Anthony back in 2011 at an event, All-American Pro Wrestling. I was hired to be the commentator for that, and golden boy Greg Anthony, one of the many talented wrestlers on that show, and worked with him for quite some time and learned quite a bit about the business back with some tips on my commentary, and then also kind of seeing his in-ring work, which I had very, very high reviews of and always thought very highly of him. So Golden Boy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So, Golden Boy, you are right now, and congratulations due to you, you are now the new NWA Mid-South champion, is that right?
The NWA Mid-South Unified Heavyweight Champion, that is correct.
Defeating Big Bull Bronson at the end of 2014, and NWA Mid-South, tell our listeners a little bit about that organization.
NWA Mid-South is kind of unique than a little more unique than some of the other NWA companies. the lineage of Endigan in itself actually goes into the nines. Alvin Minnick owned Endigan in itself in the late 90s, early 2000s. And, of course, as everyone knows, Endigan has gone through a lot of changes over the last 15 years. You know, Dave Marquez had it at one point, and now Bruce Tharp has it. You know, the last couple of years, Bruce has made an effort to really make the NWA a little more prestigious than it once was. And most of the NWA federations now are obviously more startup companies. NWA in itself is kind of a culmination of not just the original NWA in itself and Mines, but also other companies such as Pro Wrestling Elite and All American Wrestling here in Tennessee and several other companies, and that's why the championship is the unified championship. Our title lineage actually goes back to the mid-90s with guys like Tracy Smothers and Brickhouse Brown and places like that.
Now, you guys run out of Dyersburg every Saturday night, is that right?
Yep, every Saturday night. Dyersburg, Tennessee, full time 7:30. So that's kind of the standard in Tennessee. There's a lot of weeklies in Tennessee, so I know that may sound odd to a lot of people across the country. I talk to a lot of my friends across the country that are wrestlers, and you know, sometimes they have to drive 200-300 miles to even get a show, let alone have a weekly show, you know, in their hometown. So
that's awesome. So are you guys on TV down there, or can people find you online and watch the matches and see what's going on with NWA Mid-South?
Well, we're very socially conscious. So, I mean, we have a lot. We're very heavily into social media aspects. So, I mean, you can get on, obviously, on our website, which is NWAMidSouth.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @NWA_MidSouth. Our Facebook, of course, is NWAMidSouth. We have an Instagram as well, YouTube account. We have the whole nine yards, so you can find whatever information you want. We haven't released a lot of footage yet. The building is a work in progress, obviously, and we're about ready to start releasing a lot more of our footage. But you can kind of see, especially what we're doing, and follow our product from day one.
And, of course, I am speaking with the Golden Boy, Greg Anthony, who is also on Twitter at NWA Golden Boy, so you can check him out, and we'll have the links to the other pages that he just mentioned on jitterymonkey.com and my123cents.com. So, Golden Boy, with this being kind of right in there in your hometown, obviously I would imagine that kind of takes out that whole wear and tear issue as far as not just on your car, but on your body as far as driving from show to show. Are you still working with other companies and making your way around the country like you had been?
Yeah, I still do quite a bit as far as that goes. I still got Vegas coming up for Cauliflower Alley, which is huge. We're slated to go back to Texas early part of the year. So, I mean, I'm still traveling, things like that. It's just having this weekly show that where we can, Dyersburg, in my opinion, has always been a place that could really have utilized professional wrestling a lot better. There's always been a weekly show here, and it's just the potential for what it could be has never reached its potential, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what NWA Mid-South is trying to do. We're trying to give people something new, fresh, something that not only in our, the hashtag is, you know, NWA Mid-South, hashtag history is here. And, of course, that's a nod to the NWA history. But also, we're on the cutting edge of all the old new technologies. We have our own app, you know, on Android devices, you can get NWA Mid-South app. So, I mean, we're trying to, you know, bring everyone into the 21st century, I guess you could say.
And, you know, obviously, some of the names that I recognize on the roster, Bull Bronson, Brandon Espinoza, guys from the Midwest or listeners from the Midwest will recognize some of those names, but also legends like the Rock and Roll Express, and I know that superstar Bill Dundee is making some appearances with you guys as well. So who else is kind of up and coming or that folks might know or recognize that's on your guys' roster?
Well, the good thing about NWA itself is they're making a conscious effort to not have the same 12, 15 guys there every week. You know, they're trying to give the fans a lot more bang for their buck, I guess you'd say. They're bringing in guys from all over the country. You mentioned Brandon Espinoza. You know, Bolt Brady is another guy that, in my opinion, is red hot right now. There's been guys from Georgia like Tyson Dean come up. You know, there's the crew from Texas, JoJo Bravo. You know, there's just a lot of talent all over the country that I think we can utilize in this area. And with that, guys like, you know, Jeremy Moore, the epitome of sports entertainment, he called himself. You know, Jeremy Moore is still a young guy in this business, and he's still got a lot to prove. A rookie that's actually made a big wave in the last year is a guy named Drop Dead Dale Wall. And he's from that area, the Southern Illinois area. You know, Sykes, Missouri, Southern Illinois.
Okay.
And he's made a huge contribution to this area.
Now, you brought up earlier, too, the Cauliflower Alley Club, and this was something that I remember reading about in the After magazines when I was growing up, and obviously a lot of legends associated with that. But for listeners who may not be familiar with it, and I, like I said, other than reading a little bit about it, I don't know a lot about it, but I know that you make the trek to the is convention, is that the right word to use here for it?
I think convention will be okay. It's so much more than that, in my opinion. You know, I'm sure you felt the same. Like, growing up a wrestling fan, you're always kind of home. You always kind of feel like an outsider a lot of times. Yeah, because not everyone's a wrestling fan, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're growing up a wrestling fan, you know, you find a couple guys that maybe wrestling fans too, and you guys kind of all hook up, and you know, you talk about wrestling and watch wrestling, things of that nature. And then when you actually get into wrestling, you know, you realize, well, there was a whole world of people that were just like me. You know, and that was kind of what wrestling gave to me. But then one step above that is the fact that when you get in wrestling, you realize that there's guys that are there just for themselves, or they're there just to be wrestlers, or be able to tell, you know, their friends and family, hey, I was a professional wrestler for 2 months, 3 months, whatever it was. Then you go to Cauliflower Alley and you see the guys that are without a doubt live, breathe professional wrestling 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And that's what Cauliflower is. It's a group, a collection of professionals from across the world that come together and, you know, we share ideas, we try to teach each other, we try to do as much as we can for the business to make sure it moves forward, and upward and onward, too.
And you've, like I said, you've been going, how many years have you attended this? Because you've been pretty active with Cauliflower Alley, is that right?
Yeah, this will be my fourth year. Mm-hmm. I'm going in April, and this will be my fourth year in a row. And I plan on going every year. It's just one of those things that's, it's probably been the best thing for me on a professional level. It's been the best thing for me on a personal level, because I've met a lot of friends. And it's just been something that's, you know, I tell people all the time that I feel like that I was put on this earth to be a professional wrestler. And it kind of sounded silly when I used to say it, but now meeting some of these other guys, I know that it's true.
Let's talk a little bit more about that, because, you know, my involvement with independent wrestling has been very brief, just about 3 years now. And you meet a lot of guys who kind of are what I would call the weekend warrior types who, you know, are there and just kind of get in the ring, do their thing, grab their stuff and go home. But I met a lot of guys like you who are very passionate about this, who live and breathe it, as you said. It's 24/7, 365 for you in those terms. And you're wrestling at home now, but you said you wrestle a lot on the road still as well. Do you ever aspire to go to the next level, whether it be TNA or the Ultimate, what I would assume most guys who are in the business are out to do is to make it to the WWE. Are those kinds of ideas in your head? Do you ever think about that? What are your long-term plans in the business?
Of course, we all want to. Nothing would please anyone more than to be the top guy in WWE, making $10 million a year, whatever it might be,
mm-hmm.
and main event to WrestleMania and do all that kind of stuff. The truth about it is that spot is so rare. It's rarer than anything else in sports or entertainment. And just think about the guys that have held that spot. There's been very few guys. I mean, it's... there's been how many WrestleManias now? 30, we're coming on 31, right?
Yep.
We're on 31 WrestleManias. some guys are main, Hogan main evented the first nine WrestleManias. Eight main is, and then he slid on Yoko on the ninth one.
Yeah.
But, so there's not many guys that have held those spots. So, it's a very rare thing. For me, my long-term goal at the end of the day is to, be happy with what I've done. And when, you know, I don't think there's very many people that can say when they were 5 years old, they told anybody in their family and anybody that would listen that they wanted to be something. And, you know, 30 years later, they're done. You know, so I followed my dream, and I've been, you know, I've accomplished more than I ever thought I would accomplish, so I'm grateful for that. I'm always open to new ideas, always open to new opportunities, and I feel that I'm ready for any situation I can be put in. So there's just a lot of, things in WWE that obviously I don't agree with, but it's not my company. Same thing with TNA. A lot of things I don't agree with, it's not my company. But, if I were to get hired or signed or whatever it will be, then I have every confidence that I could perform at that highest level.
And now you've also, we've mentioned some of the companies you've worked with. I know you've been very passionate with TCW Traditional Championship Wrestling as well. Talk a little bit about your work with that group.
Traditional Championship Wrestling was, in my opinion, the third largest company in the country. We were in 50 million homes. And 50 million homes were on DirecTV and Dish. And it has allowed a lot of guys that were very talented that maybe weren't getting the opportunities that they deserved. There's an opportunity for a lot of us to finally be seen by the world. And TCW opened a lot of doors for me. It all started with Beautiful Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrestling here in Tennessee, and Bobby Eaton was coming to my area, and they wanted a tag team with a young man, and I was handpicked to be Bobby Eaton's tag team partner.
Wow!
And once I was handpicked to be Bobby's tag team partner, there were a lot of eyes on me that weren't on me before.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, me and Bobby got booked with Traditional Championship Wrestling, and then once Bobby retired, not long after, then I became a single star with TCW. And with TCW, that opened the door to Cauliflower Alley, and that opened the door to the NBA. And it's opened so many doors for me, and it all started with Bobby.
How is Bobby doing these days? I know that he has had some health issues.
He has had some health issues, but he's doing better. He's eating right and getting on track and getting everything squared away, and I saw him a few weeks ago, and he looked great. You know, so
I love
things that, you know.
I always loved him in the Midnight Express, obviously. And then when they kind of broke him off in, I think it was like 1991, and he kind of started his singles career with WCW, I wasn't sure that it was going to work, but it really did. And he had a run as TV champion, and I know that they eventually paired him up with Arn Anderson. And he always kind of seemed to be that consummate tag team guy. He was always a great partner. And I would assume that you feel the same way as you were able to team up with him. What was that like, though, teaming up with a legend like Beautiful Bobby Eaton?
I mean, it really is for, you know, if you grew up, you know, a St. Louis Cardinals fan, maybe he was playing baseball with Ozzie Smith. If you grew up a basketball fan, maybe he was playing basketball with Michael Jordan. For me, being a professional wrestler, you know, it didn't go much better for me than being in the tag team with Beautiful Bobby Eaton. You know, and that's how I felt about it. He was actually one of my favorites growing up.
Yeah. You know,
because it was something that I couldn't put my finger on when I was a kid, but I've always been drawn to the seamless Southern feel. You know, the Bobby Eaton, the Ric Flair, the Arn Anderson, the Teddy DiBiase, the Tully Blanchard, you know, guys like that. Those are the guys that I usually kind of gravitated towards. And I didn't realize that when I was a kid of why, but eventually I did. And what Bobby taught me was, because when I got with Bobby, and here's something that I want young guys to understand, is that if I would have gotten an opportunity, a fairly large opportunity when I was 20 years old, more than likely I would have screwed it up because I was 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 20-year-olds are idiots.
Yes.
You really don't know anything until you live some more years. I know that sounds silly, and some people might disagree, probably 20-year-olds. But it's the truth. By the time that I got with Bobby, it was 2009. You know, so I was 27, 28 years old. And I'd been wrestling since I was 18. So I was pretty polished. And what Bobby taught me was that basically that I was ready, that I was a lot better than most, and that I should trust what I do and how I do it. Because I would ask him questions all the time, and I would say, well, this is my thought process, and he'd go, that's right. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It just became one of those things where he actually started putting over to people that I was the captain of the team. And the thing that really helped with Bobby, too, is that he's so, not only is Bobby, you talk to some of the guys in the territory days, the guys they say were the best wrestlers, they say Flair, they say Arn, but they say Bobby. They say Bobby in the same breath.
Mm-hmm.
And what Bobby is not only is he that, but he's also one of the nicest, most unselfish guys I've ever been around, not just in wrestling, but period. So the entire time that we were together, we would call Midnight Gold, obviously Midnight Express, the great Anthony. The entire time we were together, I never took a pin.
Wow.
Every time Midnight Gold got beat, Bobby took the pin. Because his thought process on it was that this tag team was to give me the rub. That it wasn't going to hurt him in the slightest.
Mm-hmm.
So every time we had to lose, he took the pin.
That's awesome. Now you've worked,
and it's quite a testament to who he is, and that's what I get so upset about guys, quote unquote guys that once called themselves legends or their name or what this is, and they're so hung on losing and stuff like that. You know, there's not too many guys out there that were bigger stars than Bobby Eaton and better workers than Bobby Eaton, and he's willing to lay down for just about anybody.
Yeah, he really is one of the all time greats in terms of that. And you hit the nail on the head. He has that kind of something about him that you can't necessarily put your finger on, but he has that, you know, you mentioned Flair and you mentioned Ted DiBiase. And I see that when I see you not only in the ring, but I hear you on the mic. And we speak of Ric Flair and Tully Blanchard. You have an association with James J. Dillon as well, the WWE Hall of Famer, the former manager of the Four Horsemen. Tell me a little bit about that and how the Empire came about.
Well, the Empire is, you know, something that the Empire has been around for a lot longer than people realize.
Mm-hmm.
You never know who, when, where, you know, you're going to see a member of the Empire. And just recently, the Empire has been brought to the light, you know, as just kind of driving force behind professional wrestling all these years. You'd be surprised some of the names that can be listed as members of the Empire. And J.J. Dillon is one of those guys that's kind of been, you know, it's a possibility he could have been with a Four Horsemen, the Four Horsemen, or were they just an extension of the Empire? You know, it's one of those questions that may never be answered, but we can always ask a question, right?
Sure. So
J.J.'s obviously, he's a wealth of knowledge in itself. You know, we've talked quite a bit, and he definitely sees a lot of the things that I do and the things that matter to the area goes. He sees a lot of that as horseman-like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's managed me and Matt together. He's managed us twice, and he's managed Matt, I think, two or three times on a singles level over the past year and a half. So it's been a good ride with J.J.
Now you're a young man, but you have that old school mentality, that old school philosophy. So tell me what you think is missing from today's wrestling product.
There's a lot that I believe is missing. I think the best place to start is with mic work. I've always said the mic work is what separates the man from the beast. Because it doesn't matter how great you are in the ring, you know, it's always going to have a you're only going to have a place in this business if you can take that microphone and convey a story. And I've told people for years that I would rather have 2 minutes with a microphone than a 20-minute match. Because that 2 minutes, I can make that 2 minutes worth more than your 20 minutes. So, what's wrong with the promos nowadays is scripted promos. And we've talked, and I'm sure everybody and another has talked about that. Yeah, scripted, scripted, scripted. I come from the belief of, you know, give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach a man a fish, you feed him for a lifetime. So, people have to make an effort to learn how to do that. And people say, well, I never get any mic time. Well, you can't talk. Why would I give you the mic if you can't talk? You know, that's just hurting me. Hurting the brand and hurting everything else.
Do you believe that's a skill that one can pick up and learn and be taught? Or is that just one of those things that is kind of a natural, you're kind of born with that ability?
I mean, there's some people, obviously, that are born with it. Roddy Piper. You know, I don't think anyone taught him how to do it. Mm-hmm. I think he just picked up a mic and did it. You know, me, myself, I've always been a talker. I could always, you know, talk about anything. But at the same instance, I made a lot of effort and took a lot of painstaking time into learning more about what to say and what not to say. You know, I've been cutting promos since I was, you know, 11 years old. You know,
mm-hmm.
I cut them all the time. I cut them in the car. I cut them in the shower. I cut them everywhere. You know, at one, you know, I probably cut a promo about everybody that's ever been on television. You know, because that's what I gravitated toward. And you know, the whole thing is about talking into the building. You know, Dusty Rhodes is, you know. Even when I talk about it, talking in the building, he's one of the guys that you can definitely point a finger to and say, he did it, you know? And guys have to, it should be where, obviously, it's you yourself with the volume turned to 10, you know? And it's an extension of who you are. But people have to learn how to tap into that. Like I said, and like I mentioned just a little bit ago, it's so much more about what you don't say rather than what you do say. Like when I tag with Bobby, a lot of guys, like I said, they don't really understand the who's, the why's, and the how's. And the first thing they wanted to say about Bobby on the microphone is that he's old. And what that does is it puts you in a no-win situation. Because here you are, you got the microphone, you wrestle legendary Bobby Eaton, and you call him old. Okay? So if you beat Bobby Eaton, then all you did was beat an old man. And if you beat you, then you got beat by an old man.
Yep.
So you cut your legs out from under you from the start. The goal is to build everybody up. So win, lose, or draw, you know, there's a reason. If I went out there and said Bobby Eaton, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, one of the greatest tag team wrestlers all the time. Bobby, you know, you got so much knowledge. You know what? I'm hungry. You know, I'm going to take this match away from you because I'm ready for my spotlight. You know? And there we go. Win, lose, or draw, we're both strong.
Yeah, I've been backstage before for promo time, and there have been some of the boys that just fall into that same trap that you're, I don't know if trap's the right word, but you know, they talk about how much their opponent sucks or how much, you know, their opponent is old or out of shape or whatever. And you're exactly right. If they win, you know, they've beaten an old man, or if they lose, they've been beaten by an old man. So it's little things like that, I think, that is missing that you could tweak. But what else would you change about today's landscape? Because obviously WWE has the market share, the lion's share of things right now. Do you think that there will ever be a powerful competitive number two out there?
I would hope so, but you know, no. It really depends on the climate of professional wrestling in this country. When I started, you know, 14, 15 years ago, if you went to a school and said you wanted to run a wrestling show, they jumped all over it. Nowadays, it's almost impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And that just comes with the stigma that professional wrestling has. And that has to do a little bit with the Attitude Era. The Attitude Era obviously was great for the numbers it drew. I mean, it was huge, right? It was very popular.
Sure.
And what it did was, it was just a natural progression. You know, you and I were, we were young in the 80s when we had Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan was geared towards us, the kids. When we get to the 90s, it's geared towards that 18 to 35, the young adults. And that's when I started taking the cussing and the nudity and taking things to the extreme and, all that kind of stuff. They were pushing the envelope, and it was great for what it was. But what it did was it made a lot of parents turn it off.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want their kids to watch it. So what happened was they turned it off, and now we're not seeing those guys that grew up when they were 5 years old as wrestling fans as we did. They're not following behind us. That's what wrestling is all about. It's about creating your fans. Having a kid as a fan. If you create a wrestling fan when he's 5 years old, more likely he's going to be a wrestling fan for the rest of his life, as you and I.
Mm-hmm.
So that created a wall. And I could see it from the business side because, I got in. When I broke into business, no lie, there was 35 of us that broke in all at the same time. All young guys, all between the ages of 15 and 22. And a couple years after that, all of a sudden, there's 10 guys breaking. And then after that, there's 5 guys breaking in. And it dwindled down to where there was very few guys trying to get professional wrestling.
Do you think that with the creation of the Performance Center and NXT, and kind of the... Obviously, the territory days aren't what they used to be, but the independents are still out there. Do you think that what we get on the main roster, this next generation, is just going to be what has been manufactured by WWE? Or do you have hope that guys like Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville and Kevin Steen, or Kevin Owens now, who were big names on the indie scene, are they going to be completely rebranded, do you think, to have that WWE stamp of approval put on them, or will they still be able to kind of do what brought them to the fans in the first place with the indie shows that they did?
I would hope the WWE just listens to the fans in that aspect. If the fans love somebody or they hate somebody, that they go with it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen a lot of that recently. We see a lot of guys that get over and, get over on their own and work hard and do everything they're supposed to do, and then all of a sudden their legs get cut off from under them. Zack Ryder being an excellent point of that. Zack Ryder was, he was very special in the sense that they were chanting his name when he was nowhere out there.
Yeah.
You'd watch a show and they'd be chanting Zack Ryder for no reason. He wasn't out there. His match wasn't coming up or anything.
Yeah.
And they would change his name. To me, it was disheartening to see them not go with that. Because all it really... If they would have done a huge save in Madison Square Garden where CM Punk was beating someone up and were talking trash or whatever they need to be, and Zack Ryder, he's a kid, he hit the ring in Madison Square Garden, cleared house, I think we could have, one of the biggest stars in the business at that point. So it just sucks that guys have to work. It's like they have to work so hard to get over, and once they get over, then they get buried. And then they have to get over again, and they get buried. And they get over again, and they get buried. And it's just like the fans at a certain time just quit caring about that guy.
Yeah.
And, Dolph Ziggler, they want Dolph Ziggler so bad to be a star. And, I remember watching Dolph Ziggler in, I think it was maybe 2009, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
In 2009, he was having matches with Rey Mysterio for the Intercontinental title that were amazing. And it's just like, I think he should have been a bigger star much quicker.
Yeah, totally agree with that. Are you optimistic that there will be, I feel like 2014 offered us something a little new and different, at least with the members of the Shield and the Wyatt family, seeing some of these guys get called up to the main roster. And, you know, obviously Ambrose and Rollins and Reigns have all kind of excelled on their own as well. And we're getting some new blood into that main event picture, but we still have John Cena. We still have Randy Orton. Kane is still around. Triple H interjecting himself now and then. Brock Lesnar, of course, as the champion. Do you think that we will see some of these younger guys win the championship, hold on to the championship? Daniel Bryan, obviously a case of unfortunate circumstances with his health, but do you see 2015 going on with maybe a champion-free year as far as John Cena goes?
I think they've done an excellent job as far as, you know, they're always good at creating talent when they want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you watch Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose and the way that they've been booked from day one as part of the Shield, they were all booked as stars and they were all booked strong. You know, and that's what happens when you do that. You know, if you look at, we talk about, you know, Steve Austin. Steve Austin's, you know, was at the top in 98, right?
Mm-hmm.
By 2001, he was gone.
Yeah.
So, 2002, I think it was, maybe 2002, he was gone. But, I mean, that's only 3 or 4 years he was on top. And, of course, he was injured in between that, too.
Yeah.
You know? Now it's like when guys feel like they're going to get over, they kind of squash it sometimes. If they would just let things happen organically, you know, they would have more stars. And I understand that their theory is that, well, we're going to push the brand and we're going to push the company because we don't want one star to be bigger than the company. And I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who, you know, if you have your own brand, I completely understand that. But what they do is they shoot themselves in the foot, because when a guy like CM Punk leaves, for whatever reason, he leaves and he leaves that hole there, and you hear them complain about, we don't have enough main event guys, all they would have to do is look the talent strong from top to bottom, and then when CM Punk left, everyone moves up. When Austin left, Triple H and The Rock were right there to move up. You know?
What do you make of the CM Punk situation?
I don't know. I mean,
do you think he'll ever be back? Will he ever be back?
Never say never in professional wrestling, that's what I say.
Yeah.
I mean, we never thought we'd see Hogan back.
Yeah.
And Hogan testified against Vince, you know, trying to send him to fucking jail for, you know, 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So, I mean, never say never, but if, you know, from the people that I know that know CM Punk, you know, his convictions are pretty strong, and I don't know if his integrity will allow him to go back, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Golden Boy, we're going to wrap up here in just a few minutes. Is there anything else you want to add? And we're going to introduce a new segment to our listeners. But is there anything else that you want to add about the world of wrestling or get any more plugs in for yourself or NWA Mid-South?
Yeah, I want everybody to check out their local shows, good or bad. You know, I think they need to be supported, because I think the territory system can come back on a different level, in a different aspect. You just need people to support it. You know, you have to understand that, you know, you're not going to get $100,000 pyrotechnics and things like that, but what you're going to get is you're going to get 12, 15 guys that really want to do this and really have a passion for it, and they're doing it because they love to do it. And that should be the reason you're there, too.
That's an excellent point, and I do miss having that homegrown opportunity to see men and women from this area, or, you know, coming in from other areas and wrestling, because those indie shows are so much more intimate, and, you know, you do get to a lot of times meet and greet and talk with the guys and the gals as they either get ready to wrestle or have come out, and the setting and everything, it's just, it's something that I really do truly miss, and I am going to make it down to Dyersburg, Tennessee, one of these Saturdays, and check you guys out at NWA Mid-South, because I miss seeing it, and I miss watching you perform. I did have the opportunity to see you in New Orleans WrestleMania weekend this past year. And you guys put on a heck of a show. That Mid-South Legends show was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. There's just not enough options right now for guys to follow their dream and make a living. You know, I think that's the thing that needs to change. I think there needs to be more options for guys to be able to, you know, WWE, obviously, you know, there's a lot of money in WWE. The guys need to be able to follow their dreams. And any company that can, you know, have shows where they're running multiple times a week and they actually have their own little area would be beneficial to a lot of people.
Yeah, totally agree with that. Okay, Golden Boy, we're going to play a game now called Three Count. And this is actually an idea that I had and didn't really have a name for it. And Golden Boy actually suggested the name Three Count. So I'm going to give him credit where credit is due. He has no idea what these questions are. But since he is the Golden Boy, Greg Anthony, they are all related to gold. So question one, since you are the Golden Boy, what is the symbol for gold on the periodic table? Do you know that one? Very good. Very good. I'm impressed. Okay, what was a worse movie sequel? City Slickers 2, The Quest for Curly's Gold, or Austin Powers in Goldmember?
I actually liked both those. If I was gonna have to go, I'd go with the City Slickers just because they had a twin Jack Powell.
That's right. Very good, very good. All right, and finally, and I know that when you were with AAPW, this chant got to you a lot. They called you Golden Girl instead of Golden Boy. So which Golden Girl would you most likely have had as a valet for the Golden Boy, Greg Anthony?
Well, I think that I would rather have Sophia, just because I know she's a little more feisty. But we all know that Blanche would have been the one to want the spotlight and come out in the heels and the skirt. So I'm probably going to go Blanche.
All righty. Some excellent answers there. Golden Boy Greg Anthony, it is always a pleasure to talk to you. He is at at NWA Golden Boy on Twitter. And you can also find out more about NWA Mid-South. It is NWAMidSouth.com. And we will have the links at my123cents.com as well as jitterymonkey.com. Golden Boy, any parting words for our listeners today?
No, just everybody try to remember there's only one man in this business that's as good as gold.
Well said, my friend. We'll talk again soon.
All right.
Bye bye. Folks, that was the Golden Boy, Greg Anthony, and as I mentioned, an old friend of mine. I say old friend, it's only been about 3 or 4 years now since my venture into the world of independent wrestling started with All American Pro Wrestling, and coming up on the anniversary of my one and only match that you can also check out on the My123Cents YouTube page. But I encourage you to continue to support local wrestling because really these guys are some of the ones that are feeding into the WWE developmental system. You know, I mentioned before that Adrian Neville and Sami Zayn, who are out there now and shining on NXT, were on the indie circuit not too very long ago. Kevin Owens as well. Those guys all started off and now they are shining brightly. And of course, Dean Ambrose, Daniel Bryan, Seth Rollins, all of them as well, had to start somewhere. And they weren't all part of a family lineage and they aren't all a part of the WWE main system. So they get their starts, wrestling in front of 15 or 20 people at the local bingo hall or the VFW club or wherever. So if you find a company that is in your area or nearby, buy a ticket. It's usually under $10. You go, you have some fun, you get entertained, you can heckle the guys as they're coming in and out of the ring. It's a great time, and you can create memories with your friends, your family, whatever it is. So that's my PSA for independent wrestling. But in the meantime, this has been episode 5 of My123Cents, the podcast. I again appreciate your support and invite you to share our links with your friends and family around in the wrestling business as well. And again, facebook.com/My123Cents. And we'll be back next week, hoping to have an interview with one of the authors of a new book about the history of Madison Square Garden in terms of wrestling. So I'm looking forward to that as well. But until then, check us out at my123cents.com. Thanks, everyone, so much for listening.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.
Hey, Toby.
Hey, Greg.
So we've been doing this podcast network thing for a long time.
Yeah, it seems like it.
And we're finally starting now to get a little traction under us.
Yeah, a lot of people are jumping on board to have some shows.
Big shout out to some of our shows here. My123cents, a wrestling podcast based off of a blog site by the same name. Kevin Huntsberger is running that one. And you and Craig are back with a sports podcast off of another blog that you started years back.
Yeah, Seat Above the Stands. And if you're into anything local, high school related sports, we do that. National related stuff, we do that. And arguing. We really do that. So yeah, tune in.
Matt Horst has a gamer, and he's been updating that as his time allows. And he and his wife, Sierra and Zach, also have Popped Culture, and where they talk about books, and they talk about movies and action figures and all kinds of good stuff.
Absolutely. A lot of different areas covered. We can always have more, though.
And Nerd United.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I've been so grateful for everybody who's decided to join me on episodes of that show, and we're looking to keep going strong, and we're going to have a busy 2015. We hope that everybody tunes in and takes the Jittery Monkey podcast along for the ride on iTunes, on Stitcher. You just gotta do a little search.
And it's simple. You subscribe to the network and you get every show, so you can listen to the ones you want and don't have to listen to the ones you're not interested in. And be sure to rate them, please, because when you rate them and leave a comment, it really does help. So do that as
yeah,
well.
Make sure you hit that subscribe button.
Subscribe.
And leave your feedback. Make sure that you follow Jittery Monkey Podcast on Facebook, as well as Jittery Monkey on Twitter. Now, that's monkey with a U, because the other Jittery Monkey was taken and the other guy didn't want to free it up.
Nah.
So, yeah, but we're busy, we're active, and we appreciate everybody who's joined us along this far.